Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show. We are streaming live every week across Facebook, across YouTube and across Twitter. So do get in touch with us with your comments. I'm joined in studio today by Phil Egan. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
And on Skype by Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports. Afternoon, Leon.
Good afternoon, Nathan. Good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, Leon.
So while I was living the good life at the Ryder Cup last week, ye boys, well, some of ye boys, were having some success with your tips from last week. We're going to run through this week's games in a couple of moments, but we should look back because Leon's accumulator at 10-1 came in.
Yeah, it did, Nathan. The one that kind of, I suppose, gave us the good price was Leicester away against Newcastle. I just felt Newcastle, they're just playing awful at the moment. They just can't buy a win. I see Mike actually took them all out for a bit of pizza and pasta during the week, so maybe that'll gel them together ahead of Manchester United visiting Toon. But yeah, great to get a five-team accumulator up on the board.
Yeah, City, Spurs, Everton, Arsenal and Leicester comes in at 10-1 for Leon. And John Duggan's tip also came in. He tipped West Ham to beat Manchester United at 17-5.
Yeah.
I won't say he enjoyed it, but we haven't seen him since.
No, I was actually in the office last Saturday when West Ham went 1-0 up and then obviously they go 2-0 up and yeah, you could tell he knew his bet was coming in and he was looking at me going, the pressure's on you now, Phil. And yeah, I came up short again.
Yeah, so John Duggan's bet came in, West Ham to win 17-5. Presenter v co-host every single week, JD wins, Phil, Burnley to win and Everton v Fulham, both teams to score.
Ryan Sessegnon.
He's let us all down all season.
Yeah, hits the crossbar and that pretty much sums up my bet. It hit the crossbar.
All right, so John Duggan won that this week. And Kev's treble, unfortunately, not this time. Spurs and Wolves did the business. Liverpool to finish his treble. Well, really, they were the better team in that second half against Chelsea. They should have won the game.
Should have, but could have been 2-0 down.
So, yeah, really good week then last week with that accumulator coming in for Leon and John's tip as well. Offtheball.com/Boyle Sports is the best spot always for your weekend specials and some brilliant offers this weekend. Spurs, Watford and Everton to win was 7-1. That is now available at 9-1. Manchester United to beat Newcastle was 6-4 on. That's now available at evens. And Arsenal and Chelsea to win was 6-4. That is now out to 2-1. And one that I definitely like, both teams to score in Liverpool against Manchester City. That was 2-1 on. It's now available at 6-4. They only scored the 7 goals in this fixture last season. So offtheball.com/Boyle Sports is the place to go for those special offers. And we'll remind you of them again before the end of the show. But let's get into looking ahead to this weekend's games.
The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/Boyle Sports.
So the game of the season so far takes place at Anfield on Sunday. We'll have live commentary on Off the Ball. I'm going to be alongside Brian Kerr for Liverpool against Manchester City. Two undefeated sides. Joint top. Game of the season last year, one of the great Premier League games of all time.
You were at it.
I was at it. I was very lucky last year. And actually, I was just watching back highlights of it during the week. And I totally forgot. So Liverpool went 4-1 up. City came back to 4-3. And had a chance. 4 minutes into injury time, free kick out on the right-hand side. De Bruyne swings it in. And it was a close-range header from about 6 yards out that went an inch wide. That's how close Liverpool came to blowing it.
Yeah. Don't think it would happen this time if... I don't think it's going to be 4-3 again. Now, we did say that in 96 and the following season with the Liverpool and Newcastle games. History isn't going to repeat itself, but Liverpool look a lot more solid and also they're not as fluid at the moment, but they were really poor against Napoli in the Champions League. But I actually think this is the kind of game Liverpool need because they've obviously lost to Chelsea in the League Cup. They drew, but they were very good at Stamford Bridge and they were poor in Napoli. It was a really poor game. But this is probably the game that they need where they're back at Anfield. The crowd are going to be up for it. Liverpool know if they win, it makes a statement to Manchester City that, you know, we're the real deal this season. It also sends them top of the league and it means City would have to stew over the international break. Mm-hmm. I always feel if you lose a game just before the international break, it must be such a sickener.
Liverpool, City probably the only team, Leon, that would see Liverpool out at 7-5 at Anfield for a Premier League game. I guess if you're looking to back Liverpool, though, in a game like this, you would always go both teams to score and match result, which Liverpool are 3-1 for. It's strange because people have looked at Liverpool over the opening month of the season, Leon, and the general attitude has been they're not playing well, but that's a sign of a good team, that they're still grinding out win after win after win without at their best. But it felt like it caught up with them against Napoli on Wednesday night.
I think it did catch up with them, Nathan, but I think it could be a blessing in disguise. I think they were always going to lose a game and probably better off losing one in the Champions League group than losing to your closest rival for the title in Manchester City. I agree with what Phil says. This is the perfect tonic to get you right up for after your first defeat of the season. It's Man City at Anfield. The place is going to be absolutely hopping with an atmosphere. It's a 4:30 kickoff. And we all know that these are the best two footballing sides at the minute in the Premier League. But I think the Boyle Sports offer of both teams to score is a remarkable price at 6-4. I think both teams will score. Mightn't be a 4-3, but I think there'll be goals in this game. I think Liverpool's front three at the minute, they're just not clicking. And maybe it's a game where Klopp might change it. Or will he just stick with Mane, Firmino and Salah again? I would have liked to seen Shaqiri coming on against Napoli. I thought he did quite well when he came on against Chelsea. And Daniel Sturridge, of course, he's only getting 5 or 6 minutes. I think maybe he deserves a little bit more. And I think with Sturridge, especially with the history he has with Man City, he'd love nothing more. I guarantee you if he scored against City, he would celebrate. Not like what he did against Chelsea, where he didn't really celebrate. So, look, it's a big, big game. But Liverpool at home, you'd fancy them against any team in any competition. So I think Liverpool will win this game. And I like the 3-1 about Liverpool win and both teams to score.
It would be a huge, huge call for Klopp to choose this game heading into an international break to rest one of that front three, even if Mo Salah isn't in any real sort of form right now.
Yeah, I can't see him dropping any of the front three. I think this is a game where I wonder, with the game on Wednesday against Napoli, was the City game in mind? Because even watching City against Hoffenheim the night before, they weren't great, but they were able to pull out a win, which they needed.
For the harmony of the squad, should he drop one of them? Should he be saying to the front three that, listen, nobody's guaranteed your place, and also saying to Daniel Sturridge, you've done everything I've asked of you, here's your reward, it's the biggest game of the season, and then you send out a message to everybody in the squad, actually, if you deliver when you come on, I will give you the chance.
Could backfire, though. If you lose, then he'll get absolutely slated. Why not start the front three, but maybe be a bit earlier with your substitutions if they're not performing? I was waiting for Shaqiri to come on against Napoli. It never happened. Obviously, Sturridge comes on for 4 or 5 minutes. There is people calling for Sturridge to start games. I can't see how, though. He doesn't play with that same intensity that the front three do. I don't even know if he has 90 minutes in him at that pace. He's a great option to have. I think the loan move to West Brom maybe was a reality check for him. You know, if you're not willing to stay here and sit on the bench, there's not really much else out there for you.
You think back to the game last January, Virgil van Dijk had just arrived at the club at that stage, but Liverpool defensively at home are so much better. We're looking at what, 18 months since they lost last game?
Palace, wasn't it?
At Anfield?
Yeah.
They're just pretty much unstoppable. It is turned right back into the fortress of old. But as you say, maybe we're still underestimating Manchester City. They are possibly the greatest Premier League team we've ever seen. Yeah. These are the days where they'll sort of build that legacy.
Be interesting to see what he does at left back. Obviously, Laporte played there against Hoffenheim. And if he starts at Anfield on Sunday, I think Liverpool fans would be quite happy with
that. You just tell Mo Salah to sit on his shoulder for the entire game.
Absolutely. And he's just not a natural left back. Obviously, there's a falling out between Mendy and Guardiola. Raheem Sterling never plays well at Anfield. Mm. The crowd get on him from the off and he just doesn't seem to revel in it. Surely he's going to have to produce a performance at some stage at Anfield.
Well, you've just tempted me on Raheem Sterling, first goal scorer, then at 15-2. We have got three.
<He'll> celebrate.
We've got three 50-euro free bets to give away, so get your comments in below. Michael Aiken on Facebook's our first winner. 50-euro on the way to Michael. Lads, I think City to win and over 3.5 goals is a good shout for this weekend, given the history between the two sides. That's, I think we can all agree on that then. We're expecting goals, Leon.
Yeah, I think there will be goals. And I think touching on Phil's point with Laporte, I was at the quarterfinal first leg at Anfield when Laporte played left full and he was diabolical. Liverpool attacked down that side the entire 90 minutes. And it's a problem for Man City that if you take away Mendy, They don't really have a decent replacement. Fabian Delph, is he a left back? No. The young, I think he's a young Russian kid, has done okay there at times, but he's not really the answer. So that's a big problem for Pep Guardiola. With all the money he spent, they don't have a backup left full.
Mm. All right, so that's Liverpool-Manchester City, 4:30 kickoff on Sunday at Anfield. We'll also have Southampton against Chelsea. That gets underway at 2:15 at St Mary's. Listen, Chelsea have been very, very impressive, particularly in the first half against Liverpool last week. Eden Hazard already looks like he's going to be the footballer of the year. And when he looks like he's going to be the footballer of the year, Chelsea generally tend to win the league. This actually has been a difficult fixture for them, though.
Yeah, they won it last season, 3-2. They came from 2-0 down. Giroud came on and scored. You wonder how long Chelsea can go without having a striker that can score goals, though. And Hazard is incredible. We saw it this season. Liverpool nearly won the league. Suarez obviously nearly led them to the title, but he did have backup from Daniel Sturridge that season. Hazard can't keep doing it all on his own every week. He's doing his best at the moment, but there's going to be weeks. I know Sarri obviously has the option where he can leave him out for Europa League games, but all this talk of Chelsea and how they've adapted under Sarri, like, they've always had quality players. We shouldn't be surprised
that their midfield of Jorginho, Kante and Kovacic is actually decent.
Yeah, exactly.
Who could have predicted such a thing?
I know. David Luiz obviously comes in for a lot of stick because defensively he's not great. He played really well against Liverpool, but we know that every so often he's going to have an off game. But I'm still not 100% convinced by Chelsea. I thought they were very good against Liverpool, but I think they'll beat Southampton, because Southampton just are not very good and they're going to be in a relegation battle.
Simple as that. I mentioned Anfield being a fortress. St Mary's over the last couple of seasons has been anything but.
Oh, it's dour.
It's a nice place to go and play football. I think the Southampton fans are a little bit bored right now. Mark Hughes has done very little to reinvigorate them. It does already feel like a matter of time before they decide to make a change. And they have countless attacking players. Like, they've 7 or 8 attacking players who you would look at and think they could play at a bigger club. Yet they're so bloody inconsistent. But even silly, on 4-1 at home.
Yeah, but I suppose, Nathan, you look at their problem scoring goals. Danny Ings has done okay since he's come in on loan without a shadow of a doubt. He is a goal scorer. But as you rightly said, it's the support play. They don't create enough chances to actually give you a feeling that they could beat Chelsea at home. I remember that game you and I were sitting in the studio last year and they were 2-0 up and they'd given it so much, Southampton. But then as soon as Chelsea got one back, you kind of knew that the writing was on the wall. Mm. And as it turned out, they did lose that game. Now, they pulled off a miraculous escape to stay in the Premier League. But I think they're going to struggle and I think Chelsea will win. I like Chelsea. I know people are saying, can they last the season without a number 9? But France won the World Cup without a number 9. So it's not all that important. And I think Chelsea will beat Southampton and beat them with a little bit to spare.
And they won it with an extremely good-looking man coming off the bench, just like Chelsea can.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What's your live game in Premier League Live tomorrow, Phil?
We have Tottenham and Cardiff on the hallowed turf of Wembley, which looks dishevelled after AJ and Povetkin ruined it.
It took me a good half an hour to figure out last night what I was trying to go through, what potential concerts was there, and eventually it clicked with me that it was Joshua and Povetkin.
Those heavyweight boxers
destroyed the pitch. So Spurs against Cardiff at Wembley tomorrow. Spurs 4-1 on, even though with all their Champions League struggles, Leon, they have a great record at Wembley since a slow enough start, and Cardiff already we're wondering, are they going to get to double figures this season?
Yeah, felt a little bit sorry for Cardiff, Nathan. Last week, I thought they deserved more from the Burnley game. I thought they played as well as Burnley. It was a shocking game of football. Thank God I didn't watch it. Just watched the highlights. But I think you've got to give Tottenham a little bit of credit for losing an early goal against Barcelona. I thought they played quite well in the second half. And Cardiff are no Barcelona. So you'd be expecting Spurs to win and to win quite comfortably. Harry Kane again, he's back scoring goals. And I think Lamella has been very, very good. For a guy that's not always guaranteed a start, he's come into the side now when Eriksen and Ali, of course, are missing. And he's scoring goals. So he could be the one that chips in alongside Harry Kane. And maybe Lamella might hit double figures this season. I actually think he will. I think he's a very decent player on his day. But Spurs to win. And I think probably Spurs to win 2-0. I don't see Cardiff scoring at Wembley.
We know that Cardiff aren't Barcelona. But feels this season that Spurs aren't going to be the next Barcelona either.
No. Like, I was impressed with how Spurs could have actually got an absolute hiding off Barca, but they came back. Certainly,
character, Phil.
There's character there to a certain extent. Harry Kane took his goal very well. You can see him filling his boots against Cardiff. I wonder how much longer Cardiff are going to persist with Neil Warnock. Just some of the things he said this season, where he knows that he probably shouldn't really be in the Premier League, is pretty much what he's admitted.
Well, look, it was a surprise to him, I think, and everybody else, that Cardiff actually managed to get promoted. On Spurs, like, when they beat Manchester United, we all looked at what they did during the summer, a lack of what they did, and thought, actually, maybe this will work in their favour.
Stability, eh?
They know their system. Everybody knows their jobs. There's no betting in period. And actually, they had Lucas Moura come in January, and he's like a new signing because he'd sort of found his feet in the Premier League and started the season brilliantly. But now you look at them and it feels like Pochettino's been playing a very similar system, even though he can rotate between three at the back and four at the back.
Yeah.
But one or the other, that everyone kind of knows exactly what they're going to do.
Also, injuries as well. Like, they were missing Eriksen and Vertonghen, Dele Alli. So they don't have the depth in the squad. And this has always been Spurs' problem, where they can't bring in quality players because they know they're going to be sitting on the bench. I mean, why would you want to sign as a striker for Spurs
when you know you're
just going to be sitting on the bench watching Harry Kane? That's great if you're Fernando Llorente and you're coming towards the end of your career.
But is that bad management then from Pochettino, that he never gave Fernando Llorente or Vincent Janssen enough opportunities? That actually, if you said, all right, Harry Kane is clearly my number one striker, but you're going to get half an hour in every game up alongside him, you're going to get most of the European games, all the cup games, that there's enough football there to keep them interested. Whereas for both of those, they barely saw any time on the pitch last season.
I think the problem is, the reason they've had to sign these players is because they won't pay the big wages or the big transfer fees. So he has to go with someone like Vincent Janssen, who has potential, and you're hoping that he comes to Spurs and overachieves. But it turns out he didn't. He was really poor, like a few of their signings under Pochettino, where, you know, they're below where their rivals are, where they can sign a player who has proved themselves, whereas Spurs have to sign players who haven't proved themselves quite yet, and they're hoping that a bit of coaching from Pochettino and he can turn them into a world beater.
Jordan Peters on YouTube is the second winner of our €50 bet. Lads, United have been all over the place recently. I'm looking at under 1.5 goals bet at 5-2. Surely that's good value with everything that has gone on this week. It's Manchester United against Newcastle in the late game. Rafa Benitez and Jose Mourinho, and Leon touched on it there. It's been a shambles at Newcastle as much as it has been at Old Trafford. Under 1.5 goals, though, Leon, as good as Rafa Benitez can be at setting a side up away from home, surely United win this and win this relatively comfortably?
Well, I don't know, Nathan. I really just don't know if United, you could ever say, are going to win comfortably the way things are at the minute. I mean, you've got the captain of the club coming out and liking a tweet saying that the manager should go. Then he comes out and apologises about it. You've got the farce of a relationship that's going on between him and Paul Pogba. I mean, there's just a lot of problems at both clubs. You would expect United to win. You would expect them to win, but comfortably might be pushing it out a little bit. And I certainly wouldn't be backing United at 4-6. And that's why I think offtheball.com/BoyleSports at even money would tempt you into backing United. But you just look at it, there doesn't seem to be any fluency to their play. Players don't seem to know what other players are doing. Alexis Sanchez, I think, has completely lost the plot. I would leave him out of the squad. I think he has been toxic for Manchester United. You're looking at young players like Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial. When Sanchez came into that squad, they were just pushed aside. But what has he done since he's moved to United? Very little, is my opinion. So I would leave him out. I would start playing these young lads, start trying to give them a bit of experience and showing them a bit of faith. Show them a little bit of belief that you believe, even though they're young, they have the quality and they have the skill set to do something for United. But I worry, will Mourinho be there after the international break? Who knows? But maybe United just to shade this, Nathan, but not comfortably.
Newcastle are 13-2, which is essentially betting 13-2 that Jose Mourinho is going to be fired this weekend. Because if Newcastle win at Old Trafford, surely that is that.
Oh, I'd say even a draw would probably be the end. Like, we know it's going to end. It's not a case of if, it's when. And Mourinho wants out of there. He's not going to walk away. United players want him out. United fans want him out.
He hasn't really admitted, though, yet, that there is a huge pressure on him. Whereas this time, 3 years ago, with Chelsea, when it was all imploding, I remember doing an interview with him after a game, actually, I think it was against, between Chelsea and Southampton, and things were really dire. And he during the interview, he was talking about, I'm not going to resign. I know everyone thinks I should resign, but I'm not going to resign. I think I'm still the best manager in the world. I know there's lots of other great managers, but I still think I'm the best manager in the world. I still think I deserve to be here. Now, maybe that was very much a fire me if you want, Roman, but you're paying me the big bucks. But there's never been that sort of fighting talk from Mourinho. It's all actually inward. It's all inward fighting rather than me against the world. It's me against my players.
Yeah, he probably knows, though. He's clever enough to know how to play the two clubs. Like Chelsea, with Abramovich there, he knew if you tempt him, he will pull the trigger. Whereas United try and conduct themselves differently. Obviously, since Alex Ferguson has gone, they've had to fire managers, which, you know, something they wouldn't have done for 26 years when Ferguson was there. But he just even listened to his press conference after the game against Valencia. You know, I did like the question that was put to him about Paul Scholes. He's like, I don't care. I don't want to know. And then somebody just told him, he said, you're an embarrassment. United have become an embarrassment in terms of the way they're playing. What is the point of Fellaini playing in midfield?
He just does a job.
He does a job if you need a goal with a few minutes to go and you can put him into the penalty area. But when you're looking at Fellaini to try and dictate the pace of a game, you're at nothing there. I mean, why spend so much money on Fred? He's got a bit of energy. All I can say is the next manager that comes in, the players are going to warm to them, whoever they are, because they're going to be given freedom. And there's going to be smiles on their faces again. Not saying they're going to win a league with that squad, but certainly they'll play a lot better. They're not even covering the yards. I don't know what... Are you a fan of stats when it comes to distance covered, though?
I am and I am, and in that, I saw the statistic about the number of sprints that Manchester United players made, and Romelu Lukaku made only 4 sprints during the entire game against West Ham, and they had the lowest number of intense sprints of any team. But Wolves had the second lowest.
Yeah.
And Wolves won their match.
Yeah, Wolves tend to have the ball, though.
They do, but that's what I'm saying. You can read in. Now, the problem for United is they're not running, they're not intense, and they also don't have the ball.
No, and the worrying thing about the West Ham game was, you know, West Ham, they treated West Ham like they were at the top of the Premier League, where they played the three at the back. He doesn't even know his best system. He doesn't know where to put in. All the top teams have a way of playing. Okay, you mentioned Spurs there. They can fluctuate between 4 at the back and 3, but preferably he likes to play 4. We know how City are going to play. We know how Liverpool are going to play. We know how Chelsea are going to play. But United, honestly, you turn up, you don't know what team he's going to select, who's going to play. McTominay playing as a centre-half, that was ridiculous. Like Eric Bailly is sitting on the bench looking at this young kid kind of going, he doesn't even play in defence, and Mourinho's picking him ahead. He just seems to be picking battles with all these individual players because of his ego, and what it's doing is just, it's shambolic stuff, and the sooner it ends, the better for everyone at Manchester United, and including the sooner it ends, the better for Mourinho. He can go back. He can get out of his hotel.
I want this to drag on. I want this to get even more
They
bitter,
do play Chelsea after angry. The international break.
Oh, yeah. I want it.
At Stamford Bridge.
I want it to last all the way to the Liverpool game in December. I want this to be the most, the worst of all the fallouts. That United, that Ed Woodward doesn't have the balls to fire him. So it just totally disintegrates and maybe destroys the club for years to come.
And they're in a relegation battle.
He left Chelsea in a relegation battle. It can't actually happen. Our final winner of our €50 bet, Keith Curran, well done. You're being a bit ambitious with this one, but you're looking at Burnley, Palace, Leicester, Watford and Liverpool in a 64-1 accumulator for the weekend. So Keith Curran, you get yourself a €50 free bet. Let's go through our bets for the weekend then. Offtheball.com/BoyleSports is the best spot to get all the special offers. So Kev and his treble. This week he is going for Watford to beat Bournemouth, Chelsea to win away at Southampton, and Fulham to beat Arsenal at Craven Cottage, 16-1. What do you make of that, Leon?
Well, I suppose I agree with his first two selections, and maybe it being an early kickoff on Sunday, Fulham at home, they do go out and attack. That should be a very entertaining game of football, by the way. I think both of those teams, they can't really defend, so they just attack. And it's you score more or else we'll win or else we'll lose. But Fulham at home, decent enough at Craven Cottage. But Arsenal, you've got to give them a little bit of credit at the moment. Since they lost their opening two games, they're 100% in the Premier League. So I wouldn't dismiss Arsenal so quickly. But look, Kev hasn't had a winning treble yet, so he's going to get one sooner rather than later, right?
He's not here to defend himself. I don't know. Fulham are one of those teams that I have scratched off completely from all my accumulators because they play well. There's no question they look like they should be comfortable at this level, but they're not getting any results at the moment. They drive you bloody demented.
They're due to get a good result, though.
Is this the one?
It could be. Arsenal, like, do give you chances. Like, Watford, okay, they beat Watford 2-0, but Isaac's success, other side of the post, and it's a different game. I know.
Well, I thought you'd teed yourself up for an Isaac success pun.
No, I should have done. Like, you know, the difference between failure and success. Like,
is the width of a post.
Yeah, something
there
like
now.
That.
You can have that for tomorrow's show.
Yeah, I will do. Thanks.
All right, so that's Kev's treble. Watford, Chelsea and Fulham. 16-1 on that. Watford and Chelsea would expect to win. So Fulham against Arsenal will be the one. That's an early start, midday on Sunday. So, presenter against co-presenter. Phil, you can go first.
Okay, Tottenham to beat Cardiff. I think that's a given.
Okay, well done.
Harry Kane is going to score at any time in this game as well. Whether, you know, he tricks his way into the penalty area and fires low into the corner, or someone needs Harry Kane to step up and smash a penalty home. I think it summed it up last week on Match of the Day. The commentator said, at the moment in English football, is there anyone more potent from the penalty spot than Harry Kane? No.
James Milner.
No. Ever since he missed that one against Southampton a couple of seasons ago. I don't trust him as much.
Right, so Spurs to win and Harry Kane to score.
Yeah, Burnley to beat Huddersfield because everyone beats Huddersfield.
Fair enough.
And obviously Burnley have won two in a row.
Leicester and Everton, both teams to score.
Yeah.
Everton are a disgrace away from home.
They are, but they won last week and I'm thinking Leicester do concede goals. Leicester conceded a goal to Huddersfield in their last home game. And
okay.
They're in that strange position where they're doing okay, but they're one bad result away from circling around Claude Puel and asking him for him to be sacked. So I'm thinking Theo Walcott maybe gets himself in there, scores the goal, and that's one side of the bet ticked. And then Leicester have Jamie Vardy or big Harry Maguire.
All right. So that's your treble.
Yeah.
It's a complicated one. Spurs to win, Harry Kane to score, Burnley to win, and Leicester and Everton, both teams to score. That comes in at 5-1. I'm going slightly shorter, straightforward, no questions asked. Burnley to win and Leicester to win. 4-1, the double. Easy money. Delighted with it. I think Burnley will beat Huddersfield quite easily. I think they're starting to click back into gear. And I just think Everton away from home, they've no spine. They really don't have any balls in that team. Travelling, nah, not having it.
Not even just one goal. They might lose 3-1.
Yeah, they might. But Leicester's still going to win, which would mean my bet wins, Phil, which is all that matters.
Okay. You know, I do think Leicester will win that game, but that's why I included the...
So Burnley-Leicester double is 4-1. Leon, after last week's success, are you going for a six-team accumulator this time?
No, I'm going to cut it in half, Nathan. I agree with both of you lads. I think Burnley will beat Huddersfield. I think Tottenham will definitely win at home against the mighty Cardiff. And just to give the treble a little bit of a price boost, I think Liverpool at home against Man City, Anfield is a bit of a fortress. This is the perfect tonic. It's a big, big game just before the international break. So Burnley, Tottenham and Liverpool all to win 5-1.
All right, and a reminder of this week's special offer is offtheball.com/Boyle Sports. Spurs, Watford and Everton all to win was 7-1. That is now available at 9-1. Manchester United to beat Newcastle at home at Old Trafford is now evens from 6-4 on. Arsenal and Chelsea, the double was 6-4. That's now out to 2-1. And both teams to score in Liverpool against Manchester City was 2-1 on, but is now available at 6-4. Offtheball.com/Boyle Sports is the place to go for all of those. Phil? Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the show tomorrow. And Leon, from somewhere in the world, I'm not quite sure where right now, but on your way to Vegas for Conor McGregor, enjoy that. We shall talk to you soon.
All the best, lads. Thank you.
All right, that is us done from the Friday Football Betting Show. As I said, offtheball.com/Boyle Sports. All the special offers are up there. Check online and you can see our tips for the week as well. We'll talk to you next Friday. Good luck.
The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/Boyle Sports.